You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I dropped the ball and I just started doing the salsa, and then it just steamrolled from there.
Throws one left, touchdown Giants, Victor Cruz on the slant.
And he does the salsa.
The salsa's been around for years, but now that's the dance Victor Cruz started.
Welcome to the Morning Football. We are presented by Old Trapper Beef Jerky live in New York City. Happy Tuesday. My name is Kay Adams. Thanks for choosing us this morning. Brad, Peter Schrager, and yes, he salsas. He also plays pool with Joey Badass, apparently, and hangs out with Ozuna. Victor Cruz is here.
You guys have to warn me before you do the montage. Like, I wasn't ready. I wasn't
ready. The producer in my ear told me that you asked for the montage.
Yes. That, that was happening this morning.
I will only come here this morning if, in fact, that happens.
I'm just trying not to salsa dance. Three or four salsa dances this week.
This week?
At least.
Wow.
Over under. What do you think?
I stumble into work this morning. It's in the dark. I see this man walking around the street talking to himself. Normally, you see something, say something. But he had this beautiful sweater, and he was salsa dancing. It was Victor. He was doing it at 5:15 a.m. in the dark.
Oh, no, like, I found Kyle. We're good. I'm going to salsa dance my way in.
Welcome. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready to do this.
Let's hear from Rodgers. We've always got something. And in this case, maybe a little passive-aggressive take on sports media with so much overreacting. Take it away, MVP.
I think that there's... even more now than when I started playing. There's so many overreactions that happen on a week-to-week basis. So it's nice to come out, have a good performance, and get the trolls off our back for at least a week.
Was there a change in attitude, especially after some of you guys said maybe there was some overconfidence going into the Saints game?
I don't know. I just guess I think we maybe tried to show that we cared a little bit more tonight.
And it worked, a much-needed victory for Green Bay over their division rivals. Did we learn anything about this squad last night after a nice big win over the Lions that I honestly was not comfortable with until the second half? So
no, they were losing at the half game. And it was a back-and-forth game, and the defense really wasn't stopping Jared Goff. He was doing what he wanted. Then the weather started happening, a couple stops, and then it got away. But what I learned is, like, take what they give you. And in the Saints game, it was not anything. There was nothing available. It felt like Rodgers couldn't even get a snap off because of that defensive line. In this game, they relied on another Aaron. It wasn't Aaron Rodgers. It was Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones playing in Lambeau for the first time since his father passed away this offseason. And did it with a heavy heart and then absolutely exploded. This guy, Kyle, would you say 4 touchdowns? Mm-hmm. He's the first Packers running back to catch 3 touchdowns since a gentleman named Andy Urim, who did that in 1942.
Were they keeping
stats back then? They did. They threw passes, forward passes.
Good question.
Andy Urim is his name. But you know what? Honestly, it was like the first half. You're waiting for the Rodgers big strike, the big strike. And it was such patience and such discipline on the offense to just feed Aaron Jones, get him going. Because a lot of times, it's going to be Aaron Jones setting up Rodgers in the deep pass to Devontae. And that's what it was here. Such a big difference between last week and this week. You see the 3 touchdowns there in week 2 in the passing game. Mm-hmm. Of course, he had the rushing touchdown, too. So, to me, what I learned, Packers, they might be fireworks with Rodgers. He might throw for 500 yards. There might be games. They took what the Lions defense gave them, mm-hmm. and they got the victory. And you know what? It might not be fireworks offense, but that might work. Mm-hmm. That might be just enough. And quick update.
What?
You know, he was wearing his father's ashes on a necklace during the game. and the necklace went missing. I am told as of this morning they still have not found that necklace, to which Aaron Jones said, might be the best place for that necklace to be, right there on the football field after I scored four touchdowns. I love that story.
I love that. I mean, I think that's the tale of the tape for me, is that they have to get the running game going. They have to provide that balance for Aaron Rodgers in order to prolong his season, so that when he gets to the playoffs and he gets deep into the playoffs and into the season, he isn't hurt, he isn't tired, he's still preserved, he's still playing well, and he can still hand the ball off, and Aaron Jones can do things like that. Hitting him in the flat, the way he throws the ball out there, the way they design their offense is always amazing to me, how they find guys in open spaces like Devontae. They throw screens, they throw little under routes, and then boom, right when you're sleeping, they throw right over the top to Devontae. So as long as Aaron Rodgers plays the way he's playing in the second half of this game and continues that consistency, we'll see a Green Bay Packer team like we've seen in the past, like we've seen just a year ago, making it all the way to the NFC Championship game, and we'll see if they can get over that hump this year. But Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones are the two key pieces of balance for that Green Bay team, and we'll see if they can do it for the long haul.
The way you just said that, Victor, and we're going to see this, and can they roll the hump, it sounds very familiar. I'm not being flippant. I don't think I learned a single thing about the Packers. This was like, play two halves against the Lions and call me in the morning. You know, like we were saying how they were losing at the half. And there's an amazing stat. Five times the Aaron Rodgers Packers have played a primetime game against the Lions and been losing at the half. Five times. They're 5-0 in those games.
Is that right?
They've never lost one of them. So I know Aaron Jones is very good. He's been good for 3 years. I know Rodgers is good. I feel like I watched that team last night. I didn't believe anything that happened week one. I thought they were wildly cocky and ran against an emotional Saints team. The defense is a little suspect. The offense is unbelievable. And they'll lose in the divisional round or the title game round. Like, I didn't buy any of that week one stuff. And I talked about that. Last night was the Packers against the Lions at Lambeau. Like, I don't think I learned
still
anything.
Haven't seen.
You know what? Here's the thing. We're going to talk about this all week. Next week, we're going to learn a lot because the Packers are playing the Niners. So we'll get into that and we'll have time to unfold that. Last night, I mean, they beat the Jared Goff, Dan Campbell Lions. Are we ready to hand them a trophy? I can't get there yet. Good job. You held serve, but like, we need more.
When it's this whole mentality of play what comes to you. The run was there. Do you think that sometimes, do you feel like Aaron Rodgers gets back into this like 2015 mindset where he has to will his team into the playoffs? Like this team that he has around him now, a lot better pieces that he can rely on. Do you think he sort of sometimes gets back? Like what kind, did we see that week one versus week two in your head?
It could be. And you know, Peyton Manning was talking about that a lot last night. They just came out running. And they're like, Rodgers is just running and running.
See, the
two
safeties,
do.
You know, you take what you got.
Yeah, hey, well, you know. but no, to answer the question, yeah, I think that he is kind of in that place. But
the Packers are their best when he does that. When
he does.
When he.
But like, are they better? Like, it's Tonyan and it's Devontae and it's just kind of, we've seen this. We've
Can
had
I
this
ask
meal
you guys
before.
A question? What do you think of his comments afterwards, saying that the media overreacted to a 38-3 loss in the way we ever? I didn't think it was an overreaction at all. I thought that was a shocking debut for this 2021 Packers team. I don't think the sports media might be a lot of things. I don't think it overreacted to that loss. I think that was an apt
That's
response
true.
To that.
Vic, we haven't talked to you about this. What was your takeaway from week one? Like, got destroyed.
I mean, yeah, you didn't lose by three. You lost by 35. Like, it was a different thing. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, yes, we are going to blow this one up because we haven't seen it before. And another thing you have to take into account is a lot of these starters, right, it's still – they didn't play a lot of preseason games, right? So they're still getting acclimated to like live bullets when it's real out there, when all the guns are blazing. Like those, there's a different mentality that goes off when it's real and it's week one and all the bells and whistles are happening. And then now we're starting to see week two, and it wasn't until the second half where Aaron Rodgers felt comfortable and they made the changes and they made the adjustments in the second half to really come out and win.
Was it how they looked, though, or like the score? Because the way there's...
I think it was the score.
Same thing, but it's two different things.
It's funny you say that because
so flat.
I see that. I think it was the score. And it's funny because the Aaron Rodgers that we saw yesterday, it's so much onus on him. And I think the offense is so predicated on him making the throws, making every single throw. And I think that's where it gets hard for him down the stretch into the playoffs is that at some point, he wants to be able to turn around and say, hey, man, you do it for me a couple times. I don't want to have to throw it 48 times. I'm getting older. You know what I'm saying? So he's just trying to figure out. They need to figure out how to navigate that balance as they progress throughout the season.
And I'll say not something we necessarily learned. You and I harped on this point last week, but it did reaffirm that Aaron Rodgers, he might miss, but he does not miss twice.
You know.
He does not have two back-to-back statistical games
the great
ever.
Ones, the great ones
literally
usually
ever. If you take a look, and he doesn't carry negativity from the previous week to him, with him, anywhere. So he was in command, willing to trust his playmakers. This is pretty wild. He's never had two awful games back-to-back. We'll see what he can do up against the Niners in week three. All right, let's welcome in Mike Garofalo.
All right, Mike.
Our insider this morning. Week two, unfortunately, dealt us some injuries around the league, especially with the quarterbacks. Tell us where we are with Tua Tagovailoa, Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz, and Tyrod Taylor.
Yes, a lot of quarterback injuries to update you on, Kay. That's a bad thing, but the news overall, not terrible. Let's start with Tua. He's considered day-to-day after x-rays revealed, once again, no fractured ribs. So he's going to have to see if he can manage that pain there. And Brian Flores telling the media yesterday, Tua Tagovailoa, he's very tough. He doesn't question his toughness. So we'll see how he goes throughout the week, and there's a possibility he could be available this weekend. But again, the good news, no breaks, x-rays revealing nothing to that extent. Number two, Andy Dalton. He's got that bone bruise in his knee on a non-contact thing. That's a, they call it ACL type mechanism. So when he stepped the way he did, there was concern. Oh boy, did he tear the ACL? No, tests revealed that that is not the case. But the bone bruise, still painful, still something that you gotta be a little bit concerned about. So we'll see about Andy Dalton's status as we get through the week. Justin Fields obviously would be the guy, but Matt Nagy telling reporters yesterday or clarifying after his press conference that Andy Dalton is the starter if he's healthy. That's the if. Let's move on to Carson Wentz. He's got injuries in both ankles. Now, he came to the post-game press conference the other day. He did not have a walking boot on. I am told that after that, at some point within the next day or so, Wentz was in a walking boot. He had told his teammates during the game that usually he's able to kind of continue to play once he rolls his ankle, but this one felt a little bit different, so that's why he left the game. Wentz possibly not going to be available this weekend. We'll see again on that one. These are like day-to-day injuries we're watching on all these guys. Then you get to Tyrod Taylor. This one's not day-to-day. This one is week-to-week. Tyrod Taylor will not play for the Houston Texans on Thursday against the Carolina Panthers with a hamstring issue that's expected to keep him down for at least a couple of weeks here. So that's a big blow to the Texans because they were playing some really good football with Tyrod Taylor in there. In fact, Justin Reed, who had a couple of picks on Sunday, tweeted out, if Tyrod doesn't get hurt, we win that game against the Browns. Well, now they're going to have to move forward without Tyrod Taylor, perhaps for a couple of weeks here.
And they, of course, plan an early week this week. Thanks so much, Garofalo. Talk to you in a bit. Yep, Thursday Night Football, no Tyrod Taylor, but it's still going on NFL Network. We're here for a primetime showdown in H-Town. It's Christian McCaffrey ready to lead the Panthers to the next level with the defense. Number one scoring defense, number one total defense in the land right now. The Texans want to show out in front of their crowd. Panthers-Texans week three starts here on Thursday Night Football, Thursday at 8 on NFL Network. Much more to come here on the show. Victor Cruz all week hanging out with us. Dan Hansa stops by. We'll talk Matt Nagy. What did he mean by that comment about Andy Dalton and scheme? What's going on there? And believe it or not, an angry run's just ahead.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in, to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah, it's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Good Morning Football. Angry runs on the way. There were so many angry runs, Kyle.
We've been doing angry runs for 5 years. this is going to be the most difficult decision we have ever had to make on this program. This is going to be biblical. I'm telling you, I'm in my head about it.
And we will get to it. Time now, though, for a little game of believe it or not.
Bing!
All right, I say a statement. You tell me if you agree or disagree. I know you agree. My vocal stylings are really good. So let's keep it rolling to Tom Brady. How insane is this? 2 games, 9 touchdowns. What does he call them? Tutties?
Tutties, tugs.
Two tutties? We have barely spoken about Tom Brady. So believe it or not, we are now officially taking Tom Brady for granted?
We are.
And you believe that?
I do believe that. And we are because we're numb. We're used to this already. It's just scary to the point where he can throw 9 touchdowns and we don't even talk about this man because we're used to it. Talk to us when you're in the Super Bowl. Like, talk to us when the playoffs begin. That's when we start paying attention to Tom Brady. From weeks 1 to 17, where we will not pay Tom Brady that much attention because we're used to the 3-4 touchdown games. We're used to him throwing for 300 plus yards. Yes, are we used to him doing it at 44 years old? Absolutely not. Other people that have been doing it at his age are wearing blazers, doing color commentary, and playing golf, like myself. So I think we are numb to the Tom Brady-isms of the world because we know he's gonna do this. He's been doing this for so long. Talk to me in the playoffs. Talk to me when the Super Bowl game begins and Tom Brady has his chin strap on ready to ball.
But we're even bored of him winning the Super Bowls.
That's enough.
Of course. Like, there needs to be a game past the Super Bowl. Victor, we do a segment on Mondays where we have a hand out a game ball to any player we want in the league, and we weren't on the table. And I said, I'm going to give mine to Tom Brady. I could feel the eyes glazing over at the table.
Yeah.
Peter starts looking at his phone, or keeps looking at his phone, and it was just like, oh, yeah, Brady. He's born in 1977. He's through 5 touchdown passes, and we got to hear about Derek Carr and Kyler Murray. No, he's the best player on the best team with 9 touchdowns. Of course we're trying. I'm trying on a mission to get people to care about Brady, and it's like we don't. We'd rather talk about anybody
Peter,
than
do
Brady.
What you were born to do.
I was born to tell you that we don't take him for granted, but hey, Kyle's right.
Really?
Of course I'm right.
In that we do a show every day.
Yeah.
We break the fourth wall. That's what they call it. We do a show every day. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. We could talk Brady for 3 hours if we wanted to.
Why don't we?
We don't because we've been doing it for 5 years and he's getting better and better and better. If Brady has this drastic dip a couple years ago, we talked about Brady. We take him for granted. He's so good. And the zip on his passes right now at 44 might be better than the zip on his passes when he was 25. It is amazing how pretty his ball looked on Sunday. And I think we started the show yesterday. We're like, let's talk about Kyler. And it's like, Kyle's right. Guys, Tom Brady was better than all these guys.
This is getting kind of meta. I think this segment's getting boring. We're talking about Brady right now as we're talking about it.
What else can we say?
I don't think
literally.
What can we do? Tell me this. What can we do to make him feel like he's not taken for granted? I didn't think the question was about our show. I was just saying in general.
Yeah.
It's all about us.
It's us and the human race.
No, I mean, he's in every commercial in the world right now. He's got it all.
They're just doing Subway commercials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. I mean, even his footwork in the pocket, he could probably dance better than me at 44 right
now. Yeah. You're a good dancer.
I mean, I'm not too bad. Not too bad. But the way he climbs up in the pocket, he's just making all the right moves as a quarterback, as a traditional
And you don't think we give him an appropriate amount of love? We don't celebrate every milestone? We call him
not this year.
Do we need a shrine on the set to Tom Brady? Is that something we could?
I think he deserves a shrine.
That. Okay,
we have.
We could definitely.
When Jordan was winning 6 titles, it was every single show, every single segment, Jordan, 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 Jordan. Now, it's not that we haven't given them the respect. It's just, there's a little Brady fatigue, which is wild because this is a meritocracy. When you win, we talk about you, but no.
Can we get a baby goat?
Yeah, let's get a goat.
A live one.
I mean, yes. I want a little goat that lives in the corner there, and that'll be an appropriate level of respect for Tom
Brady. 9 tutties.
Yeah. All right, him and the Bucks, they are one of only 7 teams who started the season 2-0. Not very surprising. So, believe it or not, the Broncos, the most surprising 2-0 team. I do hope we have the rest of those teams to look at, Kyle.
Yeah, there's a handful, and my answer is an emphatic no. I'm not surprised by this. Only thing I'm surprised with Denver is their offense has been this explosive. I picked Denver to be in the playoffs, not to pat myself on the back, but to compliment them. Their defense is great. Third year at the coach, I don't think it's Denver at all. I think it's the Las Vegas Raiders, based not only just on 2-0, the opponents. They beat Lamar. Lamar just beat Mahomes. They beat Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. Like, in this whole game that we cover, there's not a lot more quality wins than beating the John Harbaugh Ravens and beating the Ben Roethlisberger Steelers in Pittsburgh. I can't believe that they beat both of them. It's awesome. It's 2-0. It's the Raiders for me, Peter.
I'm with Kyle. It's the Raiders for me as well because of the journey they've taken. That Monday night game to go and beat the Ravens as underdogs at home and beat them. And then go on a trip 6 days later, go into Pittsburgh after they beat Buffalo and not only beat the Bills, but like beat them convincingly down the stretch. The Steelers beat them convincingly down the stretch to beat the Bills. I mean, sorry, to beat the Ravens and to beat the Steelers. In the Steelers building? I don't think many people had that. So I'm going to say the Raiders. Broncos, not taking anything away. But yesterday, Chris Carter was on. And he's like, Teddy Bridgewater's my MVP. He's 2-0. No one believed in him. And I said, it's all good. I respect it. And I'm not taking anything away from these teams. The Giants and Jaguars are just not the Ravens or the Steelers. Not yet.
Well, I think for me, I'm going to go out on a limb here, guys. It's the Carolina Panthers for me.
Okay. Nice.
I think mainly because when you see the team, you didn't expect Sam Darnold to be playing this well. You didn't expect the defense to be playing as lights out as we were. I think with the Raiders, they kind of had that template from last year, and you knew that they were going to be somewhat good with Waller and all their talent that they have. But I think Carolina, I had no idea that they were going to be this type of team. At least early on, 2-0 is definitely surprising. Shout out to my guy, Sean Ryan, who's the quarterback's coach down there in Carolina. Nice. Who coached us down at the Giants during our Super Bowl run. But he's got Sam Darnold playing at a level that they want him to play at. Don't turn the ball over. Get the ball down the field to your playmakers. Defense is playing absolutely lights out. If they can keep this kind of template in this format going forward, who knows what could happen. I'm definitely surprised with Teddy Bridgewater and the way he's been playing. Mm-hmm. But the way Carolina's been coming out and them being 2-0, I mean, no one's talking about them either right now.
Our next guest has over 26 years of NFL front office experience. He's a three-time Super Bowl champion. Let's welcome back our front office analyst insider, our guy for NFL Network, Mr. Scott.
What's up, Scott?
Scott, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to be back. I love my Tuesdays.
We love having you on the show. We saw two rookie quarterbacks go up against each other in week two with two very different results when you had Mac Jones with the Patriots and then Zach Wilson with the Jets. Wilson threw four interceptions in the loss. The stat that stuck out, of course, is that he threw three interceptions at BYU last year. Take us behind the scenes. How does a team address when their rookie quarterback doesn't come out lights out, but instead struggles in his home debut?
Yeah, Peter, we saw a really interesting juxtaposition of the two quarterbacks and how they were used, actually. The passes that they asked Zach Wilson to throw versus what they asked Mac Jones, who looked very, very different. You know, part of Zach Wilson and the attraction to him was this big arm, right? Everyone remembers that pro day, that throw off platform, big arm, accurate arm, all these things that he could do. But the thing is, just because a player has a big arm, particularly when he's young and inexperienced, doesn't mean that that's what you got to try to show off. You know, his first two throws were beyond 13 yards from the line of scrimmage, whereas Mac Jones, his were 5 yards from the line of scrimmage. So to me, I think what you need to do to maybe get a quarterback that's young or inexperienced back on track is to throw the ball short and sideways, high percentage throws, get some things done that not only gives him comfort, gets him into a groove, but makes his teammates confident and comfortable in him. You know, I go back to one of the earliest lessons I learned in football, in pro football, was listening to how Ron Earhart helped Phil Simms become a really good NFL quarterback. It's the very same thing that Bill Belichick did years later with Tom Brady. Short, sideways, underneath, build the confidence. Don't worry about the big throws. Just get the young guy on track.
Speaking of building confidence, how about those Ravens? What a game. I'm always talking about it's the Chiefs and everybody else in the AFC. Somebody step up and make it interesting. They finally did it, Lamar. Finally got a win over Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. What did that teach you outside of resiliency, which it obviously showed?
Well, first of all, Kay, I think what's important is they built this team to be just like their leaders, their leadership group, John Harbaugh, formerly Ozzie, and now Eric DaCosta. What you saw was resilience because it built a team with a lot of mental toughness and a great deal of endurance. And we saw that. And it takes endurance when you've lost games multiple times. And sometimes it gets in the minds of some of the players, some of the coaches. It shouldn't, but it does. You know, I go back to a time I remember when we were early on with the New England Patriots. We were 0-3 in Miami. We just couldn't get it done in Miami. It was the heat. It was a lot of things in our heads. As a matter of fact, the Patriots were 2-10 going into 2003. And we get into this game. We're losing most of the game. We tie it up, go to the fourth quarter, and of course, Miami drives the length of the field. and they're in position to get the field goal. But Richard Seymour, who, by the way, should be in the Hall of Fame, that's my shout out to Richard. We got to get this guy in the Hall of Fame, blocks a kick, puts us into overtime. They miss another field goal later in overtime, and then we have the ball first and 10 at the 18, and it's one of the most spectacular, exciting finishes to a game. Tom Brady finds Troy Brown, hits him for a touchdown, and I got to tell you, this pass and this play, I don't know if I remember ever seeing Bill this excited over a regular season win. He exploded. It was a play that really helped us get focused and realize that we could win in a situation where a lot of people didn't think we could win.
Scott, that is one of the many reasons you come on the show. We love going down memory lane like that. Here's another one, personnel and decisions. On Thursday night, Scott, it looks like the Houston Texans are going to start a third-round rookie at quarterback, making their fan base one of many who is saying, there's a 32-year-old MVP named Cam Newton just sitting out there. Mm-hmm. Let's get him. There's a lot of them. Now, Scott, Cam himself has said in so many words, I'm a lot. I'm a lot of guy to bring into a locker room. So I ask you, how does the front office weigh the pros and cons of bringing in someone like Cam Newton?
You know, Kyle, I think it's really important. The first thing that you messaged, that you mentioned in that piece or that question is, a front office and a head coach's job is to eliminate distractions. Cam Newton, we didn't have to wonder if Cam was going to be a distraction. He's come out and told the world publicly, hey, I'm going to be a distraction. I've got an aura. I've got this thing about me that's going to be a problem. So if you're a team looking to get on track, you need to make sure that you're bringing in players where you don't bring in distractions into your locker room, into your press conferences, into your team. So to me, I think what you need to do is look at backups. If you're going to bring in a veteran, look at a guy that you have experience with. Again, I go back to some years where we brought in Vinny Testaverde to the Patriots. He knew what his role was going to be. Doug Flutie knew what his role was going to be. When I was with the Atlanta Falcons, we brought in Matt Schaub, who was a terrific backup quarterback. All of these guys had egos and starting experience, but they understood the mantra, which was just do your job. This is your role. Do your job. Wait for your time. If it comes, great. If not, be the best teammate that you can be, because it's about winning football games as a team.
Now, Scott, we know you're a good teammate because you're co-hosting a new podcast called Tapeheads, where you break down the biggest moments of the NFL from the weekend. I'm excited for this personally. What can the viewers expect from the show?
Well, Victor, you know, it's great because I'm on with two professionals, guys who have a lot of experience. Bob Wischusen, who's been doing this forever, voice of the Jets. He's an experienced guy, so I'm learning from him. And then we've got Dan Orlovsky, who played 12 years in the National Football League as a backup quarterback, started several games. But I'm telling you what, listen to him talk about tape and how he watches tape. He's as good as anybody I've heard. So what we're trying to do with this podcast is use X's and O's and tape, but also talk about personnel and the intersection and marriage between X's and O's, players, personnel, strengths, limitations, and how players fit into teams trying to game plan certain ways. It's been a blast. We've only done 2 episodes so far, but we've had a blast. The amount of stuff that we had to leave on the cutting floor is unbelievable because we just get to talking. So it's been fantastic. And, you know, you can catch this. We're going to be dropping another one today. What do they say? What do the cool kids say? That we're dropping another episode today. And you can find it on iHeartRadio podcasts, Apple podcasts, or they tell me anywhere that you listen and can find your own podcasts.
I love it.
Love that.
The cool
love
kids
that,
would Scott. Say you're taking it to the top of the moon.
Yeah. No, the cool kids are saying you're doing your thing.
Doing your thing.
The Scott Pioli
hey, joke. There is a dark
the
side of the moon.
In the veins, yeah.
Peter, yeah, I think you said there's no dark side of the moon. I think there is, man.
I know.
It's Pink comfortably
Floyd,
numb.
Pink Floyd is very confusing for me. I've been listening to Pink
comfortably
Floyd my
numb
entire
was off
life
the wall, and, by the way.
Yes, hey. It was. And
oh,
sometimes I'm off the wall when I'm listening to it. Hey. Scott, we appreciate you being on the show. You're awesome as always. Thank you. And we'll check out that podcast. You, Bob Wischusen, and Dan Orlovsky.
Thanks,
very cool.
It is time for waiver wire claims.
That's news.
Tuesday. Yeah, a lot of injuries. A lot of injuries in week 3, so you got to put in your claims today at quarterback. Teddy Bridgewater, you said you were impressed with the way he's been playing.
Very much so. He's been playing very well, throwing for over 250 yards each game.
He looks good. No turnovers. We love that about him. So he's been top 10 as a fantasy quarterback so far through 2 weeks, averaging 296 yards a game, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Victor's like, I got that right. Woo, off the dome. All right, well, here's the Jets this week. So if you're streaming at the position, absolutely scoop him up. If you're playing in daily, I told Rich Eisen on Game Day Morning, this is my sleeper at the quarterback spot, and it paid off. It'll happen again at least for another week. Another quarterback for you. How about Daniel Jones? He's a top 5 fantasy quarterback this season. How about that, Victor?
Playing a favorable team this week, guys.
Yeah, do you want to know why he's so good? It's because he runs a lot. 127 yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground. 2 touchdowns on the ground. He's got the Falcons on Sunday to Cruz's point here. They have allowed the most points to quarterbacks through 2 weeks. And I've had a lot of injuries at running back, so this week I will give you guys 3 to scoop up. You're welcome. Send your beautiful, nice messages to @HeyKAdams. First up, Tony Pollard. He's 12 at the position so far. He's ahead of Zeke Elliott, even though he's in a split situation. He clearly looks better. He's dynamic. He's contributing in the passing game, and that makes him a viable fantasy option in this offense. Sony Michel, another guy you should keep your eyes on. Daryl Henderson, dealing with a rib injury, and if he can't go, Sony is the next man up. I would scoop him up in case it is a nagging injury. We know Stafford's lighting it up. This offense always would. I will say I would not start him this week. It's the Bucks on the docket. Add him, put him on your bench, do not play him. And how about Cordarrelle Patterson? You get dual eligibility out of him, running back and receiver, getting lots of points. He's been playing 70% of his snaps in the backfield this year and thriving early. Top 10 performer at running back so far, racking up 2 touchdowns against Tampa last week. He looks better. He's been way more effective than Mike Davis and Wayne Gallman in that backfield, and I think we're going to see a lot of him this year. And finally, just because, in case you didn't know, I love him, Rondale Moore. Gotta do it. 7 catches for a 114, a touchdown. He had 8 targets. That's the highest on the team last week. He is an explosive playmaker. I mean, I'm sick of saying it, but I just need everybody to hear it, swallow it, and pick him up. He is one of Kyler's go-to guys already. I would scoop him, start him. He's got Jacksonville this week. What do you think of that, Victor?
I love the moves. It kind of looks like a young me out there.
It does. There's a lot of that, too.
Making those moves. And Arizona might have the best trio receiver in the league. Mm.
That's foursome, really. Kirk in there,
yes,
too.
Kirk, yeah.
All right, here we go. Teddy Bridgewater, Daniel Jones, Tony Pollard, Sony Michel. Don't play him this week. Rondale Moore, absolutely play him this week against Jacksonville. And then a little dual eligibility gentleman named Cordarrelle Patterson. Do you like my Tony Pollard edition?
Tony Pollard is the best running back on the Dallas Cowboys.
Ouch!
I hope that Kellen Moore starts to learn it. I hope Ezekiel Elliott starts to learn it. I read an interesting nugget about Rondale Moore. I read that Kyler Murray to Rondale Moore was the shortest combined height of a touchdown reception in like 60 years or something, because it was like 5'10 versus 5'7. That's an awesome nugget.
Just another reason this 5-foot-tall lady loves that wide receiver.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we push against typical societal norms. We embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful, providing a space for raw, unfiltered conversations that celebrate vulnerability and allow you to tune in to share, connect, and find comfort together.
Our tears come as a way to let us release what we can't hold anymore.
I trust that no one's ever going to find out those deepest, darkest secrets.
Yeah. It's been a hard day. She walks out, and this is what she looks like.
Oh my gosh, give her an Oscar.
Listen to A Really Good Cry with me, Radhi Devlukia, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, who's the best team? Who's the worst team? It's time now to look at the power rankings ahead of week three by our very own Dan Hansis. We always do this with a theme for each tier. Today's theme, for reasons we're not quite sure of yet, boats. We'll do it according to boats. Let's go to the SS Minnow Division. The professor can make a radio out of a coconut, but he can't fix a hole on a boat. What gives? Jacksonville Jaguars down at 32. The Lions we saw last night, according to Dan Hansis, the second to worst, most least powerful team in the league. Jets, Falcons, Bears at 25 off a win. Right over the team
Gilligan's
that they beat.
Gilligan's Island. Good, bad,
annoying. I don't know.
Annoying.
Ginger and Marianne. We used to do Christina or Brittany. All right, next. The Black Pearl. And all its many, speaking of bad or good or annoying, those Johnny Depp pirate movies, the Cowboys 17, Panthers, Saints, Eagles. These are the sort of middle team. Washington, Miami, Indianapolis, Minnesota Vikings. And speaking of the Vikings, let's go to the Love Boat Division. You could do the one that you used to watch on TV or the one that was in Lake Minnetonka. On the left, top 10, the Seattle Seahawks and the Cardinals round out the top 10. Seahawks, after a weird loss ahead of the Cardinals, Raiders, Steelers, Broncos, Chargers, Patriots, and then the Titans, who are seven slots behind the team they just beat in overtime.
I cannot wait to see who has his number two. We know the Bucks are one. Who's
Let's two? Find out as we go to the New York Giants photo op boat before the Packers game. Victor Cruz and Tim's in a red hat. The Buccaneers and the Chiefs still at two. Right over the team that they just lost to. Again, we don't make these. Dan does. And he says it's not power standings, it's power rankings. Bills, Packers, Niners, and Browns round out the top eight. So you got gripes? You want something grind your gears? This is the man who did all of that. It's Dan. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And I was at Yankee Stadium in 1990 when Cecil Fielder hit home runs number 50 and 51 on the last day of the regular season. Big moment for Big Daddy.
Yes.
Who later won a ring with the Yanks.
All right. It's excellent. Let me just unpack that. Today apparently is Cecil Fielder's birthday, and we know that because last segment was Mike Garofalo's birthday, and he shouted out Cecil Fielder as having the same birthday as him. Dan, we always feel like it's our birthday when we get the power rankings. I don't know about Ravens fans, though. They're ranked number three on the list. After their win over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football, we talked about John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson at length. So give us maybe an unsung hero of the Ravens' win over the Chiefs and why they're up that high.
All right, how about Hollywood Brown? I'll throw him out there, a former first-round pick, 2019. You know, he flashed in moments as rookie last year. Things got away from the Ravens on offense at times, and Brown even got in the media a little bit and was a little unhappy with his role in the offense. So far this year, and building off a strong finish to last year where he really found a role and found some chemistry with Lamar Jackson, now he's really starting to become a difference maker. He went 6 for 113 and a touch on Sunday night. And the whole idea of getting Rashad Bateman, who hasn't played yet, obviously, in there was to find a number one. And maybe that's what Rashad Bateman will actually be. But if Brown develops this way and Sammy Watkins stays healthy, all right, we're cooking a little bit now with that wide receiver group. Brown's a key to it.
Love it. The Niners ranked 7th after they took down the Eagles. They were ranked 20th. What was the bigger factor in the result of that game, the strength of the Niners' D or the miscues on the Eagles' offense?
I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, you're dying because those mistakes, the Philly not so special, Jalen Reagor stepping out of bounds. I mean, that's the difference in a close game, those type of miscues. But I'll go to the 49ers side of things and say that I really liked what we saw from their defensive line, which really obviously got hit hard by injuries last year. Nick Bosa being back on the scene is such a difference maker there. He had 2 sacks. And then you had Javon Kinlaw, who missed week one with a knee injury. Their run defense was an issue in week one, not in week two. So that was a really good game on both sides. It was a good trench game, Eagles 49ers, and I thought San Francisco won the game because they won down there.
Now, Dan, you may notice my somber tone here because they got me talking about the Cowboys this this good morning in the NFC East. They're ranked 17th after beating the Chargers, and yet the Chargers are ranked 14th. What were some of the more notable mistakes that the Chargers made in that loss, and why was that still not enough for you to drop them further down in the rankings?
All right, well, I'm sorry that the Cowboys came up, Vic. But I will say the Chargers, it's annoying. If you're a Chargers fan, and our new newsroom in L.A. is literally across the sidewalk, not even the street, from the new stadium, and you hear the place going nuts while we're trying to do our work on Sunday, and it, sure enough, it's because the Cowboys are finding ways to win the game. And it's about – miscues, the stuff that's not supposed to happen anymore for the Chargers with Brandon Staley there, and maybe they won't down the line. But 12 penalties for 99 yards, that can't happen in your home opener. Two touchdowns negated by penalties. I didn't drop them too far because I love the Chargers. And after the game, even though we saw two interceptions from Justin Herbert. Sorry. After the game, Brandon Staley said this is the best player on the field in this game. So I feel good about the Chargers still, and I feel good that Justin's last name is Herbert.
You're okay. Dude, you're good. Dan, we love you, and you know every Early player here. In the NFL. We know. I can still not say number 99 on the Ravens, the defensive end, who was a rookie who had the game-saving play. So we're going to get to Justin Herbert, a little easier name. Titans came back to beat the Seahawks, we know, in a thrilling overtime win. It was a game where, once again, Derrick Henry was Derrick Henry. 35 carries. Felt like they got this one and they took it and they're off and running. Are you concerned, though, that the offense relies too much on Henry? 35 carries in week two.
Well, that is a lot. That is perhaps excessive, but that was the type of game where they needed him to step up, and that's exactly what he did. I'm not worried. Maybe down the line it's going to come back, and you'll see him maybe not be the same guy in a couple of years because of all the workload over the last 3 years, but right now he can handle it, and he's different than everybody else. So I think you can't put him in that box and say, these running backs can handle it, but Derrick Henry, and he won't be able to either, because I think Henry is just built differently. I mean, that size – that speed, when he went around the corner and just toasted cornerbacks and safeties and linebackers, it's just not supposed to happen that way. So I think he's just a special dude. And I understand why there's you want to look out for him and make sure you don't burn him out. But at the same time, you got to ride the big dog. Never fade the big dog.
Power rankings, not a new sensation, but a sensation nonetheless, Dan. Be sure to check out NFL Power Rankings, presented by Energizer every Tuesday at NFL.com and in Primetime Tuesdays on NFL Network. They run in your blood, Dan. They are kind of your devil inside, every single one of us, a devil inside. See you next week.
Good Morning Football is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more official podcasts from the NFL, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.